In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And we again would like to begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for gathering us together to meditate upon your word, and we pray that you guide us by your Holy Spirit now as we study it, and pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. For those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, we'd like to welcome you again. And there's going to be a one-week lapse, well, you'll know by the time you get this, because last week was kind of a different week. Everybody was at different places, and my wife and I were over in Ann Arbor, Michigan for Dan's graduation. And so, actually, we had our service over there exactly 1 week ago today. This very same time, we were sitting in Michigan Stadium, and we had our service over there. Michigan Stadium, perhaps you know, football fans know, is the largest stadium in the country, or at least it was, until Tennessee built one that was a little bit larger, and so now Michigan is expanding their stadium, and they're adding a row of seats or a bleacher section all the way around the top of the stadium, so they're going to be number one again. And during the construction, they've got a couple of gates that are down that they can't close, so we were able to get in there. And we rented the stadium for our church service at Water of Life last week. Stadium holds over 107,000. And I don't mean to imply that it was jam-packed. That if you looked around, you wouldn't see any seats. In fact, there were only three of us in the stadium, my wife and my son and myself. So we had our choice of seats, and we were sitting under the press box at Michigan Stadium. Now we're at the town hall here in outside of Beaver Dam, and drove over through steady rain today, which we're very thankful for because the land has been kind of dry, the ground is dry, and we really needed this, and we probably appreciate this as much as Ahab did. I'd like to have you open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at verses 41 to 46. And verse 41 reads this way. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And this is going to be a red letter day for the country of Samaria, because finally the 3.5-year drought is going to be broken. And for the first time in 3.5 years, rain is going to fall from the heavens. Now, there's a very important word in verse 41. We mentioned this last week. And that's the word and, which is one of the most important words in the whole Bible. And the Holy Spirit uses this word as a connective word. So the word and in verse 41 throws us back and in connection with verse 40. And if we look at verse 40, we find out what it was that triggered the opening of the heavens and the abundance of rain. And verse 40 reads this way. Elijah said unto them, the people, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And so after the slaughter of the 450 prophets of Baal, then Elijah said to Ahab, get up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What was it then that triggered the opening of the heavens? And what was it that made it possible for the life-giving rain to fall once again? Well, the Holy Spirit leaves the key right in the doorstep, and it's impossible to miss. It was the death of the 450 prophets of Baal. And looking at it a little different way then, it was their existence and their false teaching that was that made the drought come in the first place. That was the reason for it. And there's a very, very precious truth here. Something that we can look at in our own day. When things go bad in the country, it's because they've gone haywire in the church first. It always works, though. The drought didn't come for nothing. It didn't just happen. There was a reason for it. And we look at our own country today and see how very, very quickly things are deteriorating. And those of us who are older now can look back and we're absolutely amazed at how fast things have deteriorated in the last 30 or 40 years or so. It's almost unbelievable. Now you've got children shooting children and teachers in school, and this whole thing has gone down so very, very quickly. And we wonder why, what's responsible for it. Is there corruption in the land? Well, look at the corruption in the church. Are things going haywire in the land? Well, look at the situation in the church. It's been just as bad and even worse in the church. And I'm sure it's true of all the churches in the land from what I've been able to gather, but just looking at my own situation, I used to be associated with the Lutheran Church, a branch called the Wisconsin Synod. And the changes that have taken place in the 32 years since I graduated from the seminary. I mean, 32 years ago, sitting at the feet of older, godly professors at Northwestern College and at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. And they warned us of spiritual things that were happening in the other church bodies. And a lot of us thought, well, it could never happen in ours. But it has. And the tremendous changes that have taken place in the church during the past 32 years. You know, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's a sad thing. And then you wonder why it's happened in the country. Is there deceit in high places in our country? Well, it happened in the church first. And it's even worse. And I guess if there is any hope for our country, we'd have to direct it back to the church. If the church would clean up its act first, then we could hope for the country to clean up its act. But don't hold your breath. Elijah then tells Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. And as we read through this section, notice the series of ups and downs here. Beginning at verse 40 and running to the end of verse 44, there's up, down, up, down, up, up, down, down. There are three downs. The first one, the prophets of Baal were taken down to the brook Kishon. And now Elijah tells Ahab to get up and eat and drink because there's a sound of abundance of rain. Now, this must have been the sound of faith. Because God had told Elijah, you show yourself to Ahab and I'm going to send rain upon the earth. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Elijah heard the word of God, he believed it, and therefore he says there's a sound of an abundance of rain. Now there hadn't been rain for 3.5 years, and now it's not going to be just a few drops. The heavens are going to open up. So Ahab very meekly is following orders here in verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And he must have been a little confused here. I don't know what they fed him, whether it was a couple of hot dogs and a Pepsi, or maybe they fried up the bullock that was going to be offered to Baal that Baal didn't burn up. Maybe that's what they were eating. But Ahab must have wondered whether he was at a funeral meal or a victory celebration. But here he sits there eating, and while he's doing that, Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Now, those who have been there tell us that Mount Carmel kind of had a couple of plateaus very near the top where you'd hit a plateau, and then it would go up further, and there's another plateau. And then there was the real top, which was extremely steep. And in the book of Amos, interestingly enough, God makes a mention to this, Mount Carmel, in chapter 9. And I want to read the first four verses. This is Amos chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with a sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. And then in verse 2, though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. I don't care how far down they go, I'm going to get them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And then in verse 3, though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. So Carmel must have been at least one of the highest places in the whole land. And this is where Elijah now goes. While Ahab is eating this meal, Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And one of the things that kind of strikes us here is the struggle that Elijah is going to go through here to get this rain to come, even though God had promised him that the rain was going to come. It wasn't just as easy as praying to God, well, God let it rain, and all of a sudden the rain came. It didn't work out quite that way. He went to the top of Carmel in verse 42, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, I was never quite able to figure out what was happening here until I actually did this. If you get down on the floor and put your face between your knees, that's kind of the fetal position, isn't it? That's the position that you and I were in when we were in the womb of our mother, before we were even born. And it seems like what Elijah is doing here is assuming the position of a helpless little child. And this is the way to pray, by the way. You've got to know how to pray. And in order to get blessings from God, you've got to know how to beg. And this is what it is, approaching God, not on the merits of what we've done or what we deserve, but a simple, helpless little child. That seems to be the point. And so he did that. He got down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and he must have been a little below the summit. And in verse 43, he said to his servant, go up. Now, Elijah went down on the earth. The servant is going up. Go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. In other words, it's not working. And this is a common experience for a child of God, isn't it? You pray to God, and nothing happens. It seems like nothing happens. So then what? Do we quit? Or do we keep praying, especially if we know that we're praying for God's will? And Elijah knew that because God had promised him that the rain was going to come. So he sends a servant up, and the servant said, there's nothing. So Elijah said, go up, go again seven times. So you've got a up, down seven times here. The servant goes up and comes down. There's nothing. He goes up again, comes down. There's nothing. And notice that Elijah doesn't quit. Then finally something happened the seventh time. In verse 44, it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. After 3.5 years, this didn't look like much, did it? The servant didn't say, well, there's a bunch of thunderheads rolling in. This really looks like it's going to be wicked. A big, big storm brewing. The weather watch is out. It wasn't that way. It was a little cloud. A very little cloud. And you know, Scripture has something to say about this. I was thinking of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? And you know, we should not make the mistake of thinking too lightly about small things. God doesn't do that. One thing that comes to mind, Jesus was standing in the temple one day. And he was watching as the people were throwing in their offerings. And a bunch of rich people came and threw in a lot of money, probably amounting to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And a widow came walking up and threw in two mites. Now, the church treasurer would have thought that the two mites didn't amount to anything. You can't even pay a phone bill for that. It's the big bucks that we're interested in. We can build things and pay bills. Now, two mites didn't amount to anything. That was such a small thing. But Jesus said, I want to tell you something. That widow who threw in those two little mites gave more than all the rest of them put together, because they were giving out of their abundance and she was giving everything that she had. So a lot of times things have very, very small beginnings. But as the saying is, big oaks from little acorns grow. Thinking of children here, you know, don't you ever underestimate the value of things that little children do. Little acts of kindness or little statements of faith, don't ever underestimate that. Little things can turn out to be big later on. So here's this little cloud. Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. The cloud is shaped like the hand of a man. You wonder why. And what is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us here? Well, when you think of a man, think of the man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God taking on human form and becoming a man. And I believe that that's why that cloud was shaped like a man's hand. We know from Scripture that God controls the rain. He sends rain on one field, withholds it on another. And God is very, very much in control of rain. Well, so is Jesus Christ, because He's the Son of God. These things don't just happen. And everything finally is placed in the Lord's hand. And you know, I was thinking of something like Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And you know, the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars are talked about here as being the work of God's fingers. And if these are the works of God's fingers, what can he do when he uses his whole hand? And we're going to see something here. This little cloud was in the shape of a man's hand. And Elijah picked up on that. He knew exactly what that meant. Elijah said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get down, that the rain stop thee not. So they go down to Ahab. He's in the middle of his meal. I don't think he still knows what's going on. And he said, Ahab, you better run to your chariot. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in the mud. You're not going to get home to your wife Jezebel tonight. And so he leaves his meal and down he goes. And then in verse 45, it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. All of a sudden, the heavens just clouded over. And it all started with this one little cloud that was in the shape of a man's hand. Who would have thunk it? But you see what God does with little things. All of a sudden, the whole sky is black. Ahab gets in his chariot and starts driving as fast as he can go. And all of a sudden, there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. That's Jezebel's hometown, where she was. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So now he's got this odd scene of Ahab going as fast as he can go in his chariot, and Elijah, in a burst of energy, outruns him. And both of them go to the city of Jezreel. And meanwhile, now after 3.5 years, the heavens are pouring down rain. Water of life is coming down, And in every time we get these beautiful rains, I think of Psalm 65. You might want to look at that. There are just some beautiful verses in that thing. Psalm 65, looking beginning at verse 9, where the psalmist looks to God who sends this water down in the springtime. And he says, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." A picture of a land that has really been blessed by God. And I kind of thought of that when I was driving over today. The country surrounding Beaver Dam here is really beautiful farm country. The black dirt, rich soil. And as you look out, the fields are starting to get green now, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of the year and enjoyment of God's blessings. A few thoughts here. I guess one of the things that struck me, and maybe the thing that struck me the most, was the struggle that Elijah went through to have this rain come. And, you know, we've studied the book of James, and it reminded me of a passage in the last chapter of James, James chapter 5, where James, the brother of the Lord, writes this. I'm beginning at verse 16, the second part of it. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The word fervent there, the effectual fervent, that's a translation of the Greek verb energeo. Our word energy comes from it. The energetic prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you don't get the picture of somebody just here sitting and mumbling a bunch of words through habit. This is an energized prayer, actively involved. And then the example he gives of the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had the same doubts and the same fears and the same weaknesses that you and I have. Exactly. We're going to see this in a few verses. Not today, but later on. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again that the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But this was an active thing and a struggle. And I guess this is the thing that gives me hope in our own land, in our situation here. I have no illusions about the church turning around. The organized church is gone. It's not going to happen. But if there are blessings in the country, they're going to come from the prayer closet. And you don't need big numbers. And we're not going to have big numbers in these last days. And I don't know if they ever had them. It's a very small remnant. That's what Scripture says all the way through. It's the remnant. The very small remnant. That little group of the little flock that are lambs and sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd, these are the ones. And God says, all things happen for your sakes. And even though the outward church is so corrupt and the country is so corrupt, God can still give blessings because of His own elect. As corrupt as Sodom and Gomorrah were, the judgment was held back as long as Lot was there. And as long as God's elect are in this world, there's going to be some blessings. And so The child of God enters into his prayer closet and prays just like Elijah did, approaching God as a simple little child, not able to demand anything, not deserving anything. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And pleading the merits of the God-man Jesus Christ to send his blessing still upon our land for the sake of his elect. And we'll end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send blessings into our land. Nothing that we've deserved, but we plead the merits of your Son who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And by your grace and mercy, the Holy Spirit has brought us to him, given us a saving faith, and now we are your children. And we pray that you would send blessings into the land for the sake of your elect, because we're still living in this world in these last days, and we pray that by your power, grace, and mercy, you would keep each one of your elect faithful until our Savior comes back. And then, having remained faithful unto death, he will give us the crown of life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.